Good morning. I'm super happy to be here. How about you? I don't know. That wasn't really convincing. How about you? That's better. You know, I always say this. I'm going to say it again. It's an honor and a privilege to be up here. And it's a little bit more than that. It's a blessing because right now, unlike any other time in my life, I know I'm right where God wants me. And that's a special thing. And with that blessing comes some responsibility and accountability. And next slide. I owe you guys an apology. So last time I preached, not last week, but the week before, it was about waiting on Jesus. And kind of my premise, my allegory, my word picture was that in John, the disciples kind of take it upon themselves to get in a boat and go across the shore. And my idea was that they did it without waiting on Jesus, and they got in a wreck, a storm, and he had to come save them, right? Well, what I didn't do, there's a couple errors here. The first thing I did was assume that I already know everything, which I don't, you know? And I was trying to do it all by memory. So if you go to Matthew or Mark, and someone from the church pointed this out about 10 o'clock that night, and I was sick about it, but I appreciate it, and I'm thankful that they did it, because if you don't know your errors, you can't correct them. But if you go to Matthew or Mark, the first part of that passage, Jesus says, hey, go to the other side of the lake. So that murders my whole premise, right? It just destroys it. Now, the message was good. You can't ever argue that you shouldn't wait on Jesus, right? The message stands. So there's another lesson there. Like, I kind of knew. I knew there's some discrepancies there, and I knew that in one of the Gospels that they talked about maybe Jesus being a ghost. But I'm telling you, my premise was so good, and it lined up with the Scripture so well that I didn't really want to look. And how often is that us, right? So the lesson is, just because you're in a gospel and you're reading some scripture and it fits within what you really want to do, doesn't mean you shouldn't check the other ones for context, right? Because it's the whole Bible, right? And the argument can be made that a gospel can stand on its own and there's discrepancies, and I can make that argument, right? And I was ready. But in the end, I owe you guys better than that. I'm not up here to preach sermons that cause dissension or argument. I should do better. Fail for Brian. I apologize. Now, I'm not saying that I'm never going to make another error up here, because I will, maybe today, but I'll never make that one. I'll guarantee you that. FYI, I don't like failing and I don't like apologies. Moving on. Next slide. So with that whole issue and with this sermon, I honestly struggled putting this together, what we're going to go through today. And I try to preach in a way that is, the best word I can use is micro, practical, God on a today, a right now level, right? But when you're talking about Jesus, the word's not unfortunately, in reality, Jesus is not a micro kind of guy. He is in all and he is all, right? So we're going to get a little big picture today, and I'm going to try to make it work. And honestly, this was not coming together, but 2 weeks ago, Wednesday night group, I brought it up and had everyone pray for me, and I think their prayers worked, right? So we're going to check it out, but first off, we're going to go to the source. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you're an awesome God, and just thank you for today, and just thank you for this place. And Lord, I'd ask today that this is your sermon and not mine. And Lord, I'd ask that you give me the words and the ability to convey how much and how great and how dependent we are on you, but also give me the tactics and the motivations and the skill to somehow bring that to a practical level. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So where we're at, if you think back, we can go back a couple weeks. Let's go to the beginning, right? Jesus feeds the 5,000 plus. You know, then Mark and Linda preached. They tried to make Jesus king. He went up on the hill to pray. The disciples, go across the water. Jesus walks on water, gets them out of the storm. Now they're across the lake, right? And so this is the time frame. This is all kind of the same day. This is the next day where we're at. So when Kyle preached last week, the people that had ate the bread, you know, the next day, maybe they decided they wanted some more. So they went looking for Jesus, right? And so they deduced through some witnesses and just logic that he had went across the lake. So they come looking for him and they find him in Capernaum. And so they run up on Jesus, and what's the first thing? He knows their motives. So what does he say? He's like, look, I think the last, this ain't word for word, but the last piece of Kyle's sermon was, don't labor for the bread that perishes, but labor for the bread that leads to everlasting life. And so that's where we're at. Right now, we got some people that are looking for some bread. Jesus checked their motives, and he called them out. And so they're ready to push back. So what did they say? It says, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And check this out. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Next slide. Ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to cruise right by what just happened. This conversation just got started. They just rolled up on Jesus to get some bread. He gives them some truth. They come back with it, and he hits them with probably the most important thing you'll ever hear in your life, right? What is the beginning of the works of God, right? What is the start of it? What is the foundation of everything we're doing? Where does it all begin? Well, it's simple. Believe in him whom he sent. How often do we have a bunch of stuff going on, and we come to Jesus, and we're ready for a big discussion, we're ready to manipulate with him, we're ready to have him tell us what we want. In the second sentence, he tells us the biggest truth of our life ever. Something to think about, because they totally miss it. How often do we miss it? You know? So what do they say after he says this? Next slide. He says, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, these people are a little bit slick. They got some good words here, right? So first off, they're asking for another sign. This is manipulation. Remember who these people are. These are the people that just ate they were part of the 5,000 plus. They just ate the miraculous bread to their fill. And they were also, in my opinion, probably part of the procession of miracles and this whole parade of miracles that happened up and with the crescendo of feeding the 5,000. The only reason they're looking for Jesus is because they knew he could do what they think he can do. And then they're real slick and they're like, oh, by the way, give us a sign. And can it be bread? So granted, they may be very hungry, right? You know, there may be a reason they want bread, but they're trying to manipulate Jesus. Next slide. So this is basically what they're saying. Jesus just hit them with the most profound truth ever. What are the works of God? You know, what is the beginning of it all? And he says to believe in him who he sent. They're like, whoa, 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 never mind, Jesus. Never mind what you're talking about. Give us what we want, you know. Or a better example, me. Jesus, I need this, this, and this. Now, what about this and this? And Jesus is like, no, Brian, you need to worry about what's more important. I'm like, no, Jesus, I got it. And he's like, no, Brian, you need to worry about your relationship with me. Jesus, I got that under control. He's like, no, you don't. No, really, I do. He's like, dude, I don't even freaking know you. You don't. I'm like, no, what about A, B, and C? And I just move on. That's what they're doing here, right? You know, how often is that us? And it's a mistake. Next slide. So then Jesus said to them, he's doing a little pushback here. Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So he's basically saying the same thing another way. This is how I'm going to slow down. So I want everyone to think about something. How many times since Jake's been gone, do you think we've said the word bread up here? I mean, I don't really know, but I bet it's over 100. Every week it's bread, 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 bread. Next slide. So what is bread? Why are we talking about all this bread? Well, I don't think it's an accident. Well, first off, look, they're hungry, so they want some bread. But why is bread being used so much as a teaching device? Well, in my opinion, it's like this. You got to think about the Israelite society. Now, they were an agrarian society. They were semi-accomplished farmers, right? So they had the means of civilization. But in the end, bread was the foundation, right? It was their sustenance. It's what you depended on. They had meat and stuff, but most of them weren't doing that well. And even the people that were doing kind of well, they were occupied by the Romans, so they had a big tax, right? So bread is what you went to. This is a way to relate it to your life. If you've ever been super broke or in jail, what's your go-to? It's ramen noodles, right? Bread is their ramen noodles. That's when you're broken, you have nothing else to go to, and it tastes okay, and it's real cheap. It's bread, you know? So what he's really saying, bread is, it's the foundation of their diet. That's why it's so important. You know, it has some connotations in the Old Testament, you know, some legalism, some stuff from Exodus, but the same example, he used bread then because it was so important. Next slide. So here they go again. They're going to push back. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus just kicked it up a couple notches here. And I pray that I have the words to try to explain what I think is happening. So we kind of understand that bread is the sustenance, right? It's what you depend on. And you got to think, most of these people, their day-to-day life is based on what? Getting bread. Because you got to eat, right? But here, he's saying it another way, but he takes it, what he's saying, in my opinion right here, that you will never hunger and you'll never thirst. So think about this. Think about all the problems you have in your life right now. Think about anything you're going through. And I'm not trying to say some of you guys ain't got some big problems, you do, right? But think about starving to death or dying of thirst. I'd imagine if you put those two scenarios in your life, they would probably eclipse any problems you guys got going on right now. The only one I can think that would be worse is maybe being on fire or suffocating, right? So automatically, starving or dying of thirst become the top priority in your life if it's happening to you. Agreed? I mean, you're going to freaking die, right? So in my opinion, what he's saying here is like, look, you guys are worried about all these things. Not only that, or you're worried about these two most important things, these two things that you depend on every day, that you strive your whole life to get around. I am more important than that. Coming to me is more important than that. You guys are missing the point. He's like, if you come to me, I'll take care of all of that and more. That's what he's trying to say, how important it is, right? He's trying to say that he is their sustenance. He is the thing they can depend on, right? And so that doesn't really make sense to us because, let's face it, most of us live in a society where we've never been in that situation. Even when I was at my worst, strung out of my mind, I usually wasn't even hungry. I was on meth, right? So it's not really something. I mean, and look, if you want some food in this country, you're probably going to get some. I mean, I'm just saying, if you want to break a couple laws, you get some food for sure. It's not that big a struggle, right? So I was trying to think of a way to convey, you know, what he's really saying here. And I think what the point is how much we really depend on Jesus, right? And he's trying to make an analogy of how much we depend on him and what's more important. So let's look at something. Next slide. So let's just think about this. Let's think about how much we really depend on Jesus. The only reason you're, first off, what does the word say? It says all things were made through him and for him. Nothing was made without him. What does that mean? All things, that's everything. So all material creation was made through him and for him, right? So the reason you're breathing, right? The only reason you're breathing right now is because of Jesus. Now you could take it right there, but you can go down a little bit lower. The reason there's any oxygen for you to breathe, the reason the biological systems in your lungs, in your brain, and your heart all work together in unison to keep you alive is because of Jesus. He made it all happen. What's another? The reason you woke up today, again, all of the same reasoning going on in your head, all of these things, you know, the whole reason you have the gift of life, the whole reason you have a bed, the whole reason there's a planet, the whole reason there's what? The sun is shining is because of Jesus. Right? The whole reason that the laws of physics hold, the whole reason that if you put enough hydrogen together, that the mass starts to compress it and it starts to fuse into helium and release photons and heat and make sunlight come to our planet, which then it gets in the atmosphere and hits plants and we have carbon dioxide and the Krebs cycle and all of this. The whole reason any of that works is because of Jesus. Right? You're dependent on Jesus whether you're trying to live for him or not. We are all dependent. You know, never mind if you ate, the whole reason the atoms are sticking together in a seat, the whole reason that we even have matter, right? The whole reason any of this works together or holds is because of Jesus. On a base level, no matter how far down you go, Jesus is the reason that we have the opportunity to do anything, right? Next slide. Basically, Jesus is the ultimate sustainer, more importantly than worldly food, bread, money, anything. He promises if we prioritize our relationship with him, he will take care of the rest. Here's where I don't know if I have the words to get my point across. So think about this. All things were created through him and for him. So he's telling these people, and in extension us, that all of matter, all of creation, all of reality is secondary to what? A relationship with him. So do the logic there. What he's really saying is all the planets, all the suns, all the planets, all the galaxies in the whole universe, all of creation, all of space-time, everything that was ever made, ever created, that ever lived, all of that was done for one reason. So we'd have the opportunity to have a relationship with you and you and you, right? Everything ever made, everything you've ever seen, everything you ever experienced, everything in all of time was made so we could have a relationship with you and you and you. And that's from a secular standpoint. Think about it. There's whole universities and ideas of science. People devote their whole lives to figuring out the where, the why, the how we're here. So that's a big idea. Now think about this. What is the most important thing us believers believe? That doors creation is the fact that Jesus, God, came down as a man to live amongst us and to die for our sins. What did he really do that for? He did it to have a relationship with you and you and you. So basically, all of creation was done so we could have the opportunity to have a relationship with us. We mess it up, right? So he has to come back down and fix it again. So the two most important things of all time, space, ever was done so we could have the opportunity. It's not guaranteed. He don't force you. So we could have the opportunity to have a relationship with you and you and you. What's that saying? That's saying that our relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in history in the universe, right? I mean, think about it. Sometimes we go out of our way to do something for our spouse or move our calendar around to spend some time with somebody, right? And that's a pretty much a guaranteed. What did he do? He created all of creation, all of reality, not for the guarantee, but just for the opportunity. What perspective should that put our relationship with him? How important does that make it? Well, I mean, if you listen to the words, it makes it more important than anything else, period. Next slide. Do any of us treat him that way? Do any of us even come close? If we think about the length and means he went through just to have the opportunity to have a relationship with us, and I'll speak about me. Let's face it. Often, more often than not, my relationship with Jesus and its importance is lip service. Sounds cool. Yeah, I put Jesus first. No, I don't. I put spending time with Jesus first. I mean, I get up often and read my Bible in the morning, but that's just a habit, right? I mean, really, none of us put the emphasis or the importance on this thing that we should, right? Can everyone agree? Do we got anybody that's got this 100% in here? Because I'd like some notes, please. Tell me how you're doing it, right? You know, so the most important thing of in all of creation, and we do it as an afterthought, right? You know, and so talking about galaxies and universes and time and all these things that he did, right? You know, it's hard to get your head around it, you know, because I'll give you an example. Sometimes I know a little bit about cosmology, just enough to make maybe where I think I know more than I do, you know, but right now we're standing on a planet, you know, that's of course spinning, it's got its tilt, but it's in a solar system that's in a galaxy, and the whole thing in unison is traveling through space about 9,000 miles per hour, and all the other galaxies are going different or the same direction, the whole universe is expanding about that speed. I try to get my head around that. It's impossible. How it's imperceptible to us, but we're traveling at that momentum, and it doesn't affect how we're teetering on, you know, gravity keeps, it's crazy, right? I can't get my head around it. What else I can't get my head around is how big Jesus is and how much I really depend on him. You know, but it ain't always about thinking big, right? Sometimes, what does the Bible say? It says, come to him as little children. And so I was trying to think of a way that I could take these big ideas and make it very practical, you know? And so how do we teach little children? We teach little children with word pictures and exercises. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do a little word picture and an exercise. So if I get everyone to bow their heads, take a breath, mostly me. And I want you to think about a path. Then I want you to put that path in the most beautiful place you've ever been. It doesn't even matter if you've been there. Maybe it's the most beautiful place you've ever seen, right? Put yourself there and just, I mean, really feel it. You know, if it's sunny, feel the sun coming down on your skin. If it's cloudy and rainy, maybe you feel the moisture in the air. Maybe you're by the ocean.
and you can hear the waves and you hear the mist on your body. I mean, put yourself there on this path. Then I want you to imagine someone's next to you. Someone very strong and powerful. You can feel the power and love radiating off of them. And they reach for your hand. I want you to grab their hand. And you've got to grab it firm. Their hand's a little bit bigger than yours, but it's very strong. You know, but not strong and intimidating, since you can feel the love emanating from it. Right? And I want you to look up, and it's Jesus. You're standing next to Jesus. And it doesn't matter what you make him look like. What matters is what it feels like. Maybe it feels like when you were a small child and your parents used to walk you and you felt safe and secure, only a magnitude stronger. Or maybe you're like me and you don't really have those memories. So maybe it's more like when you walk with your child, right? But again, much, much stronger. But you feel safe. You know, then maybe you guys start to walk. But don't walk fast. Let him take the lead. Let him grab your hand. Let him pull you a little bit. And just walk. And just concentrate on hearing your guys' footsteps and feeling the love and power come from him. Then I want you to look around at this beautiful sight, this beautiful scenery. I want you to think about something. All of this was made, every bit of it. Everything you can see, everything you can feel, everything you can hear was all made for this very reason right now. So you could be walking with Jesus. He did all of this for you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He made an entire universe to have this moment with you right now. And just walk with him. Just feel him. Then maybe a path comes up in the road, a V in the road, and you don't really know which way to go. But don't decide. Hang back a little bit. Stall a little bit. Let him pull you. Be sure. Let him take you the direction you're supposed to go, because he knows. And just keep walking with him. Maybe you hear his breath. Maybe you hear the footsteps crunch. Maybe you hear a bird in the distance. But again, just realize all of this beauty, this was all done so you could be right here with him. Then maybe you're walking a little bit more and you look forward and you see that the road, it's all tore up. Maybe it's a cliff. Maybe the bridge is out, but you can't get by. And maybe there's a clearing, and he puts you in a clearing. He's like, look, I love you, but you're not ready, and this road ain't ready. I need to go in front of you, and I need to get this road ready for you. But don't trip. Just because I'm gone, I'm always here. My spirit will be with you. But I don't want you just to stand here and do nothing. I want you to do all that I've taught you. Everything you've learned from me, do right here. And while you're here doing the things that I've taught you, I'm going to get this road ready, and I will come back for you. And as he walks away, realize that even though he's going to get the road ready, you still feel him. You feel his spirit. And you know in your heart that if you call him, he'll be right back. And then realize, I mean, savor this moment and realize that right now, no matter who you are or where you are right where Jesus wants you. And if you'll just stay here and wait for him to come back and get you, let him guide you and direct you, he'll give you a life that you can only dream of. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, just thank you for today. Just thank you for this place. And somehow I got that done by noon, so that's good too. And Lord, I just ask as we go throughout our day that, Lord, you just impress upon us how very real you are and how very important our relationship is with you, Lord. And I'd ask you just make times in our life and give us a yearning and a burning to be with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.